Tomas, we are back, my friend. You know what that means. Time for a little bit more Tasty Live with Confirm and Send. But before we do, let's take a quick look at the market because we've got some movers here, Sadnov. Even the S&Ps now down near their lows, down 62 handles. That's 1.25%. NASDAQ down 285. That's a little over 1.625%. Russell down 23 and the Dow down 400. Both down around 1.125%. Volatility up 49 cents. 1645.
Doesn't that seem low?
Seems real low. Been saying it all morning, but we really haven't caught any bid on anything here in the market. And something else that's kind of, you know, weird is gold only up $5. I mean, I don't know. Bonds down 27 ticks, trading on their lows. I know you like the bonds more than the market itself, but they're both taking it on the chin. Bitcoin hanging out around 63,003. Oil unchanged. I already mentioned gold up $5. Net gas also taking a little bit of a slide to the downside, down around 4 cents or so, almost a 2 cent move in there. I mean, all the news, well, so far this morning was about Meta trading 416 and change. That's about as low as I've seen it.
It was 414 last night at one point before I left the office.
I just thought after 40 years, 2 points would be enough if I say.
I'm just saying, got down to 416. Yeah, 414.
I'm just teasing. IBM is the other player from last night's earnings. IBM 165, down around 18 or so. You got a bunch of earnings coming out today, too. Google, Intel, Microsoft, just to name a few. Roku, Snap, CVX, a couple of others. What do you think here, Saz?
I'm freaking shocked by the.
Is this going to be a, like, I can't believe the bonds are down here kind of day, all day long? They don't rally?
I bought a lot of bonds this morning.
I know you did. I saw.
Yeah, I bought a lot of bonds. I don't know.
But you dollar cost average, so that's okay.
No, it's not. I don't like to add, but I bought a lot of bonds and a lot of notes. That's all I bought because.
And you're pretty much done, right? I mean, like you.
I'm done. Yeah. I'm done. I put a fork in myself. But what bothers me about this move is that I can see stocks falling out of bed and crashing, whatever, but I didn't see the bonds getting down to the 113, 112 in the 112 handle. I just don't understand it because there's gotta be a flight to quality. Like gold just turned higher. Like it would really surprise.
Only higher by five.
No, I understand that.
I mean, that's not a big move. I mean, here, if gold was up $5 trading 2,400, it was up $5. I say, okay, gold is staying strong today, but it's sold off by, you know, almost 100 handles. It's up $5.
It would really surprise me if bonds and stocks both go lower. I'll just leave it there.
All right.
But listen, we're running behind. Let's go. We'll talk about this in a sec. We're really far behind.
I'm ready, dude.
Is there anything wrong with holding futures long term? This is Confirm and Send. These are emails that came into us overnight and from viewers all over the world. Is there anything wrong with holding futures long term like I would stock? I'm willing to roll from expiration to expiration to keep the position on.
No.
Absolutely nothing. Whatsoever. You're right. Tony's right. There is no problem. You just, the carry cost, the dividends, everything's built in, but there is absolutely no issue with holding futures into perpetuity, just like there is with holding stocks into perpetuity. It all works out the same.
That's correct.
Yep. We have zero issue
with synthetic stock into perpetuity, whatever you want. It's all built
in. Zero issue with that whatsoever. A lot of people say, well, you don't want to roll. No, it's fine. You don't want to hold futures into perpetuity? They're priced perfectly.
Yep.
Don't even, you're not giving up anything. I mean, some of them are expensive to hold, the ones that have a little bit of drag in them, but the answer is it would be no different if you bought the stocks.
That's correct. We probably wouldn't hold volatility futures.
We probably wouldn't buy futures to hold them into perpetuity anyway, but if you want to, go right ahead.
Sure.
Let's go next slide. I know you manage your trades at 21 DTE when you put them on at 45 DTE, but what if you used a shorter expiration cycle, say 30 days? Would you still manage at 21 or would you manage at 15?
Yeah, if I'm putting on at 30 days, I'm looking. You know, I made that decision when I put the trade on. Yeah, I'm probably, and I know it takes about 2 weeks for most of our strategies to work, so I will take that under advisement to myself. But when I put it on, with 30 days, I knew that at 21 days, I was probably going to take a look at this position to do something else. So, yeah, I'm still at that 21 day to do something.
Yeah, I mean,
I may end up doing nothing to it, but I'm going to look at it.
Technically speaking, we are still going to roll at 21 days because that keeps us clean meaning that we get everything done right around then, so we don't have stragglers, so we forget about things like that. But the answer is, if you wanted to do it at 15, the difference between doing it at 21 DT when doing putting it on at 30 and doing it at 21 DT and doing it at 15 DT is virtually nothing. Mm-hmm. Like over time, the difference, you wouldn't even know the difference. For us, it's a matter of consistency. So for consistency reasons and mechanics, we would do it at 21 days. But if you want to wait 15, go right ahead. No problem. Sure. The difference is nothing. Next slide, please. So if you had to do a takeaway of takeaways from all the research you've done over the years, what would the top few takeaways be?
Takeaway of takeaways.
Mm. What is the takeaway of all the takeaways?
I think I'm going to piggyback what we just talked about a moment ago. On at around 45 days, off at around 21 days. That is my core position. That's how I have adopted my trading. And that is really something different than the way that I used to trade for many years prior to the show. So I think that's it. I think size is another one that's kept me really in bay, keeping my size in check. Used to trade a lot bigger than this. Those would be my two.
Okay. So this one, I'm going to agree with Tony again. My takeaways are very similar. The whole concept of trade small, trade often never occurred to us in the first 20 years of my career, because it was always trade big and, you know.
Trade big or go home.
Right. So yeah, trade small, trade often, I love that. And, you know, and the other takeaway, I think, is I am very product indifferent. I used to not be. So if you take trade small, trade often, product indifference, and then lastly, managing early. You know, the 45 days gave me context, but the managing early is the key now. So everything I do, I manage early. No more hold this to expiration or doing that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything's about managing early. That's it. For me, managing early. So how do you hedge for a black swan event? Would you ever consider doing a back spread? That is the opposite of a ratio spread. So Tony, a back spread is, instead of a ratio spread, is buy one, sell two. A back spread, just for argument's sake here, is going to be sell one, buy two.
That's correct.
Possibly for a credit. So when you do a back spread for a credit, where the net buy, where you net buy more options than you sell, is that something you would do? And if not, why?
It's obviously nothing I do. You've never seen me do it on my podcast. You've never seen us do it here. I'm not a buyer of the flyer black swan event. If I'm going to put on a position like that, I would do something completely different, something that had at least a 50-50 shot, as opposed to a 85-15 against me kind of trade.
Yeah, I mean, we don't do back spreads. I mean, when we were traders on the floor, we did, but now.
So that's by saying that, it's like a little bit contradictory.
No, it's not contradictory, because you get forced into positions you don't necessarily want to have. That's why. Here we get, since we get to decide what we want to do, we never do things we don't want to do. And backspread's something we generally don't want to do. Will it work in certain situations? Of course. Just think about all the times premium blew up in your face, then backspreads would work. But the reality
would have worked in meta.
Probably would have worked in meta. But the reality is it a reasonable play for a black swan event? For a black swan event? And the answer is sure, you could try it. Mm-hmm. But would it be something that we would do? And the answer is no. And the reason we wouldn't do it is just for the low, you know, if a ratio spread has a 85 to 90% chance of success, then a back spread has an 80 to 90% chance of failure, because it's just the opposite. So we're not going to do something that has an 80 to 90% chance of failure. Even though it has unlimited potential rewards, we're not going to do that. Let's go to the next slide. So this person writes, I typically use 50% profit target on short spreads and 25% on iron condors. But after rolling up or down the untested side of an iron condor, would it make more sense to lower my profit target percentage given the narrowed range of possible profitability between my short strikes?
Yeah, it most certainly does. As a matter of fact, if you're rolling one side, it's probably a losing trade. So your first target should be getting back to even and then reassessing. You might want to close that position and open another iron condor, one that doesn't use as much buying power or whatever, or one that has a little bit more delta to it, one direction or another that you want, as opposed to what you got stuck with. So yeah, my first target would be breaking even. And then after that, I'd be back to your 25 to 50%.
So after rolling up or down the untested side of an iron condor, would it make sense to lower your profit target? Sure.
Yeah.
Because already you're playing defense. So
yeah,
sure.
I'm saying.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it always makes sense to do something sooner, and to do something sooner means you do something earlier. Mm-hmm. So by definition of what of the mechanics we use, earlier is better, so lower is better. Okay?
Yep.
Let's go to the next slide. And the last one. I'm confused by what I'm seeing between stocks and bonds. You and me both. Stocks are trading higher. Well, they're not today. Like they expect a rate cut. But bonds are lower, like rates are going to increase. Shouldn't these trade the same way?
I don't know what year are we in, because they've always had an inverse relationship when I was growing up until I became mature over the last 10 years or so, and now they move together with each other. I mean, I look at them as two random events. Do I take them into consideration when I'm looking at a position or looking at a stock? Yes, but I don't try to get the macro view or anything like that of, like, you know, one has to diverge against the other. I'm not going to sell E-mini S&Ps and buy bonds just because I think the pair is not right.
I bought bonds this morning because it doesn't make sense to me either. And I had to do something, and I'm not going to sell stocks in the hole. I'd rather buy bonds in the way in the hole. Like, bonds are in a bigger hole to me than stocks are so far. So I am confused by what I'm seeing, just like you. I think that I know a lot of people expect a rate cut, but with bonds trading right here, I can promise you one thing. You ain't getting a rate cut.
Commercial value, they're both down around the same.
You're not getting a rate cut with bonds where they're trading right now. That's off the table right now. But I do think that there's less risk in bonds because they're so much lower than stocks on a relative basis. Bonds have dropped, you know, over 10%. Stocks have only dropped 5%. What?
Yeah. I mean,
that's all.
Yeah.
So shouldn't these trade the same way? Well, they should have an inverse relationship to be perfect. So, yeah. Now, listen, we're on the same page as you.
That's the last one, right?
That's it.
Let's take a quick 90-second break and come back. We got more Tasty Live with trades from the research team next. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Live, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducer.